condition, my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in. Oh.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
Oh, it's, it's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses.
Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know, that's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Now, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Well, and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. Time to come home. We got Matt Byrne on the board. We have Mr. Greg Pappas coming to us via Zoom. Instead of coming to us sitting across from me. So he's on Zoom today. SP Futures up 75 cents. NASDAQ Futures down 49. Interesting, in the NASDAQ, we've got the Apple's down 480 this morning. It's down 2%. We had Greg, are you with us?
I'm here.
When did the Trump vice president say that Apple was using slave labor? Did he just figure that out? What did they say, thanks for the flash, Gordon?
Thanks for the... Well, I think that's been an open secret for a long time. Nobody's bothered to look because that's somewhat inconvenient for their narratives and shareholder value.
Well, as we are having an interesting show today, I try to do every day, but Jan Flanagan has done a little research for us, and those are long-term listeners. Remember, a long time ago, we did a show. We had a guest from the, how do you pronounce it, Craig? The Eager. Uyghurs, the guys from
Uyghurs.
The Uyghurs, they're the people that are essentially being enslaved by the Chinese, but of course it's totally off any kind of page. But it's not like the Chinese decided to be nicer to them. So John's got a little bit of follow up today. We might pay a little bit of the original interview if Matt's got it together. But Matt's always got it together. But if he happens to pull that one up, what is you guys are my. 21st century dudes. What is Weibo? The Chinese social media? You guys ever know anybody who's managed?
I've heard of it. I haven't used it. I think that's kind of what Elon's trying to do with X, make it an everything app, from texting and communications all the way to money.
Ah, well. Turns out that these guys are, let's see, this is an article by Dylan Butts, there's a name. News of an apparent assassination attempt on former U.S. President Donald Trump has taken China's heavily censored social media by storm. So if you read in the background of this article, it has to do with Chinese government. If they didn't want it to come through, it won't come through. I don't know about that, but it's probably true. It says, Weibo quickly became a breeding ground for a number of conspiracy theories surrounding the authenticity of the incident and the motives of those involved, which users alluding to the fact this event will benefit Trump in the polls. Why are the Chinese all over this thing, do you suppose?
The way to control the narrative.
Yeah, but why would they opine on this incident before anybody even knows what the hell happened, really?
If you control the narrative, it's the same thing that everybody who wants to have some kind of an advantage does.
Are they Harris people, Chinese? Why would they be Harris people? I thought Trump
I think
was
the
our
goal
buddy.
Would be more likely to create disorder.
Ah, remember Richard J. Daley won. The police are not here to create this or create disorder. Here to preserve disorder or something. Is that what he said?
Preserve disorder.
Yeah,
I think that would be more the goal of those kinds of what are they? Articles.
Well, I guess they're. Because I know that's what I'm asking you. It must be a bunch of people talking back and forth about it. But the thrust of the article is they wouldn't be able to do it if the government didn't say it was okay, or wouldn't let it go through. I mean, they censor everything and anything. They must. Maybe it's a big job.
Right. The U.S. government doesn't suggest people use Weibo specifically because it's subject to oversight.
So if I went on my little computer here, which is not little, but and I type in Weibo, I could tap in.
I mean, yeah.
Okay then. Well, yeah. I guess I
you could. Can use it here, but there's not a lot of people who use it here. Maybe probably less than a million, but it's yeah, it's specifically.
So I can post on there like I can on X.
I assume you can post on there. Everything gets throttled and
read
according to what they want, though. They, you know, they control what's.
So they can say no. We don't like that guy. Easy.
Oh yeah.
All right then. All right. So what do you make of the Fed meeting this week? How does that affect any of the commodities? Been pretty dull, except for gold keeps going up. Silver is.
Yeah, I think we saw exactly what the plan is last week. Somebody probably, you know, bought up a whole bunch of bonds.
Why? This is the weirdest.
It went from 15% chance for 50 basis point to all the way to like 46% chance basis point for 50 basis points. I didn't look where it was this morning, but I think it's pretty obvious that they're going to do 50 basis points.
All right. Well, if this is the this is like the million-dollar question. I don't know why I keep asking this, and I get. Of course, there's no honest answer to it. When you say they're going to announce, do you agree with me? They've already done it.
Maybe they've already done it, or maybe they leaked during the lockup period, and someone else decided to do it, tried to front run, but. That was a big move last week, and I'm not sure anybody would really want to put that kind of position on like that unless they really knew what was coming.
Oh, come on. You're saying that somebody gets this information?
I'm saying probably 100 people get the information.
Yeah.
A 10-day lockup period?
Yeah. Well, allegedly.
Yeah. So.
Well, it's a U.S. Treasury yield. I've got the... The 30-day now, it. I wish I still knew my guys that used to do federal funds stuff at night, but now they sort of stopped doing it because there like is no federal funds market. Everybody just uses the Fed to go back and forth. But what do I have here?
SOFR trades overnight.
What I'm saying, that's the rate from bank to bank, right? And I don't know how much of that is even going on these days, but. Again, we've said it 100 times, if the federal funds rate is the rate of which banks borrow back and forth to each other for excess reserves versus banks needing reserve overnight, and the Fed manages the money supply in a way that targets that number. They don't set it, they target it. And we're down to, the 3-month is down to 4.87. So it was 5.5 when they started talking about this. So they've already moved the number 4.87, or 50 basis points. And yet,
right.
And yet, everybody's waiting for them to say they did. And
somebody moved the number.
Well, they did. They. I'll look here at the M2. I'll find it. It won't take me long because I do this all the time. We've got to put in money supply because it comes up with M2. BMWs, which is not really what I'm looking for. I think it's been up 5%.
They're much too small. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you're thinking one of those isn't be for me.
I don't know. I think you might need the convertible just to fit in.
Yeah, you know, the funny story about that. Remember when the Ford came out with the Thunderbird convertible?
Couldn't fit in there either.
I was over at the money. Well, yeah, I fit in it fine. I was at the Economic Club of Chicago at the time, so we go over to the auto show because we got to go like the day before it opened for lunch, and you got to go. You actually got to go and sit in all the cars. It was kind of neat. I'm going to say from December, February 2024, the money supply has gone up every single month. So when that is, when the Fed puts more money in the pool, it means that the funds rate comes down because there's more money available. All right, so they've been working on this since February, and we're now September. So this is not a flash. This is not fighting inflation. This isn't anything. This is lowering these rates. You don't fight inflation.
Did you see the thing in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend where they said the Fed? I forgot who wrote it. I think it was one of the, not an editor, but one of, you know, the staff writers. They said normally the Fed leaves interest rates alone in the months before the election, and this time is different. They should not leave the. It was, I don't know, you know, more of the same.
Well, it's been ongoing for a couple of years, or this was going to happen. But it is sort of interesting. This morning on the way in, I was listening. There's some, man, see if you can find this. I forget the name of the outfit. They come out with the inflation versus wage increase table, and they say that the average wage increases since January of 2021 is been 17.3%. And the inflation's been 20%. Maybe it was January 20, but and
is
I think
Statista,
is that those guys?
Sounds could be.
Anyway, I remember 17.3 versus 21. Now the only flaw in that argument is that 21 is probably really what, Greg, 40, 38. So if you look at that, it's not even.
It's definitely higher than 21. So somewhere in between that 20 and 40 range.
Yeah, and I, you know, depending on what you're looking at, I've got it sort of at the long end of that one, but and I'm not so sure I'm all that out on a limb there. I think a lot of people are there, but anyway, so it's you're starting to see it come out and stuff like, I don't know, Matt, if you can find, I got you about doing about five jobs over there, but Boeing just rejected their contract, right? Overwhelmingly, even though
it's the worst, the workers are on strike, and the machinists also joined the strike.
Yeah, but I think what was the bump? Was it 20% or 25 over 5 years or 4 years? But I'm not sure when they stopped getting a raise. I mean, when this contract stopped. So if we're talking like 6 years or 5 years since you got any kind of a raise, I think the people in the rank and file, let's say at Boeing, realize it doesn't come close to what has hit them expense wise.
Well, what they had rejected, what was it?
The 20%
a couple days ago was 25% over 4 years.
Over 4 years. Now, does that?
They overwhelmingly rejected that one.
Okay, so 25% over 4 years. Have they been hacking around without a contract? In other words, when was the last time they got a raise? I guess is my question here, and I don't really have the answer. Because usually by the time you get to this situation, it's been like at least a year since they got a raise. Sometimes two. Not all the time, but most of the time. So if you're talking about a five-year bump of 25%, that's 5% a year. Duh. I mean, it's not even close. And yet it sounds to people who haven't got a raise at all going, hey, what are these guys complaining about? They're getting something better than I did, right? Yeah. So it depends on what on your point of view.
And their recent performance and everything hasn't been stellar either. It's a good thing they're a defense contractor.
Yeah. Well, where do you put the spaceship? They're getting, right. Are they paid by? What are they getting? They must be getting paid by NASA, there, aren't they?
That's pretty good, yeah.
And the thing made it back. Now, if you were up there, you'd probably wish you came back on it, right?
I don't know. I'm thinking I would have. I'll stick around for the next one just in case.
Well, 6 months. I mean, if something showed up with like more food and poo bags,
I don't think that's the problem. I think they're more worried about the longer term effects of on the people.
Well, in other words, these people were not physically screened for 6 months.
I don't know if they were training, to be up there for more than however long, and now they're going to, it's just more stress on your body when you get back. So I'm sure they'll be okay, but it's just a lot of egg on Boeing's face.
What happens? You're because you don't have any gravity. Doesn't your circulation
everything
get all screwed
weaker.
Up? Yeah, your circulation gets all screwed up, right?
Your circulation, your what's it called? Your balance, your muscles, everything gets weaker, and you need. I think they carry you out of wherever you land just because they don't want to take the chance of you falling.
That's great.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to once you get back on Earth, there's such a large acclimation time that you're not even allowed to do much.
So what now? If you just go up and come down, you're okay, right?
Pretty much. That billionaire dude looked okay.
Yeah,
he was waving at the camera and stuff.
Billionaire dudes always look okay. That's why they're billionaires.
Yeah, they were smiling and stuff. What's it called? Starship? No.
Starlink or no? Starlink's the satellites. Star something.
SpaceX. SpaceX put those people up there. And they were testing out their spacesuit.
Well, they don't have an airlock in the thing, so the people inside have to put a space. So they're technically walking in space, too. The people inside, once you open the door. So everybody has to put the spacesuit in.
That's got to feel weird.
Yeah.
You think you'd be able to open the door up in space?
Why not? You gotta depressurize it.
Well, I'm just saying, would you be able to, click and here open the door? I'm thinking that goes against every instinct that people have.
Yeah. Well, putting on a spacesuit and depressurizing the place, I guess it doesn't matter much, huh? Now, the guy just looked out, right? He didn't go out on a tether or anything.
I don't know what they did.
I think he just was, stood up and looked out. I'm not positive on that. I saw a picture of that. I don't see him out on a tether with the backpack that moved him around or anything, like he was fixing something out there or anything. That takes huge training, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what is there anything in the commodity world other than the metals and oil, which is oil to be getting its ass kicked? Is there anything that this time of the year is we don't have any? Doesn't look like we got any floods coming. Matter of fact, we can't get a drop of rain here. Is this weather?
In the grain world, they're kind of watching the levels in the Mississippi again because those are dropping. They're lightened up on barges. But, the crop looks pretty good. Everything weather-wise is okay. We're a little dry, but the yields are going to be, fantastic. The prices already really represent that. We've got like $10 beans, $4 corn. Farmers are, not really as happy, but they're going to get more of it. So that makes up for some of it as long as you weren't a cowboy and held on and hedged, at least some portion. I think you're going to do okay, so...
But not the
commodity-wise. I think more people are interested in trading the bonds and stocks right now rather than commodities. They kind of are less interested in the metals, grains, those kinds of.
Well, the metals have been pretty hot. Is copper a big trader? Because copper, one of my guys, I think we might have mentioned this last week. One of my guys called me and said that the one of his, some guy was building a bunch of houses near him, said the price of spot copper, stuff they buy like for roofs and stuff, continues to go up. And it's up like over $9.
Yeah, maybe up over the past few, weeks or few days, but in terms of year to date, we're not.
No, he's talking about this guy buying rolls of copper to do roofs. He claims they're up to like 9-something. Which is really high, but copper has gone up a little bit, but not very much. What, it's 4.25 or something?
Right.
It
was as high as 5, a few months ago. So that was a big run up, and they're probably still using those kinds of prices. And
all right. So right now, so what on the grain side, I mean, I'm not the expert on this, but I think if it's dry like this, you probably don't have a problem getting it out of the ground, so that's going to bring the price down. But don't you also have to use way less gas or whatever you're using to dry it? It's already dry.
Yeah, I think that's going to be, if it stays like this through harvest, yes. Now, what farmers are really looking for now are are some kind of weather event that might get them that last you know, few that they need to sell the futures to pop a little bit, because right now it's been a steady downtick over the past, say, 2-3 months, and it's not been a secret either that, you know, we're having decent weather and everything's you know, Goldilocks type stuff. Now, the funds have been net short, I want to say, for like that same time period. So it's been a slow march downward.
All right. Well, it's so now you want a weather event to hit the farmer next to you, basically.
Yeah, they were thinking they would like some kind of futures rally so they can sell off those
yeah, well,
the stuff that they haven't hedged.
Not happening. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 80. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to factor in the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other life decision. Your brain is smarter than your gut, and that's why you owe it to yourself to read Luckbox. We've made it easy because Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with timely, actionable trading ideas, and equips you with savvy investing tactics you don't already know, all while exploring how to live your best life through music, spirits, food, sports, travel, fitness, and a whole lot more. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on controlling their financial futures. It's for overachievers and alpha types who don't buy into Wall Street's investment gurus. It's for mavericks who believe in life, luxury, and the pursuit of happiness. It's for you. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. As you all know, the broad markets, especially tech, have been hot for a while. Lots of reasons. New technology, small fixed income returns, a lot of Fed cash, maybe some good management. Recently, however, the rates on fixed income investments, even U.S. Treasury, have risen from the very low levels. Treasuries are more attractive. There might even be some interesting bonds out there. Also, the bull run has some leading stocks with historically high valuations, maybe making long-only positions a little riskier. So what to do? I think the answer is flexibility. The market may keep going higher. It may not. It could even go down. Is fixed income a thought for some part of the portfolio? Rates are not zero anymore. You may want to protect some gains. Think about some rebalancing, address some growing concentration issues, maybe thinking about commodities. We at PTI may have a solution just right for you. Open an account at PTI Pro Direct, PTI's online trading platform using the Interactive Broker high-end platform. There you'll find competitive rates and solid execution across all product lines and traditionally high interest on money balances. In addition, at any time you can seamlessly decide for fixed income investments to access Dan Janitas at Kratos Capital for management services. Dan and his team work tirelessly to achieve the highest returns they can, whatever risk category you are comfortable with. You can also quickly access my team
for investment services and a wide array of investment strategies on the security or commodity side, protective strategies, concentration issues, or straight long. In one place, you'll be able to be flexible and ride whatever the future market holds with people you are used to hearing and trusting every day. Need help? You got it. Don't need help? That's okay, too. You'll have a great self-management platform with help always available. This market can change on a dime. I believe, like everyone else, having the right people there if needed is the way to go. Call me at 312-663-4310 or email me at time@ptisecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen, Matt Byrne on the board. S&P futures down 250 now a little bit. They were up a little bit earlier. NASDAQ futures are leaking some, down 77 points now. They were down like 40 when we came in. Dow futures up 93, which is a little interesting because the Apple's now down $5. But I've got, I don't know why these Dow futures are up so much. I've got Internet Express up $1. I've got, I don't know, Chevron up 40 cents. I've got JP Morgan up $1. So I don't know why they're up this much. Walmart's up 75 cents, but they are. Over in Asia, we have the Nikkei down 251. That's 0.7%. We've got Hang Seng up 53.3%. Shanghai down another 13. Still hanging over 2,700, 2,704, barely hanging over. So the everybody's waiting for the big Fed verdict, the big Fed verdict. Over in Europe, DAX down 43.2%, FTSE down 5. Call that flat. CAC run up 4, call that flat. We've got bonds. 10-year is unchanged, 3.64. The Bund unchanged, 2.14. Japan, Japan's down 2 basis points, 0.84. Oil, up 57 cents, still can't get over 70, 69.22. Brent, up 50 cents, 72.11. Natural gas down a penny, 2.29. RBOB, up a penny, 1.94. Gold, which has been kind of on a tear, down 90 cents now, 26.09, but over 2,600. Silver, up 24 cents, 31.32. Remember I said every time it got over 30, you want to sell it, except be careful this time. Well, it's 31.31, so if you sold it at 30, you're not a happy camper. Copper up 2 cents, 425. That's the problem with these ranges, Greg. You don't know if you're reaching the top of the range, you're starting a new range. It's that therein lies the conundrum. U.S. dollar is actually down a little bit. The euro is 111 now, so that was 110 on Friday. British pound is, these guys are stronger too, they're 132. So, and we've got the Japan 140, which is the strongest they've been in quite a while. So the Fed seems to be going almost by themselves on this rate cut thing. We've got Bitcoin down $1,100, 58,743. That's kind of where it was last Thursday. So it was up down there. Matt, what do you have for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Dub Bears.
Yeah, good morning. Currently 6:39 a.m. on September 16th, 2024. Weather in Chicago, 65 degrees at O'Hare with a high of 89 today. Mostly sunny skies with little cloud coverage. Tonight, partly cloudy skies and a low of 67. Down in Phoenix, 82 degrees right now. Some sun and clouds with a thundershower later in the day. High of 101, low of 72. In the MLB yesterday, White Sox won against the Oakland Athletics 4-3. And Cubs beat Colorado Rockies 6-2. In the NFL, Bears lose their first game of the season against the Texans 19-13. The Packers, however, beat Colts 16-10. So I got, Chief, over to you.
We have got some NFL scores. We got some major league standings to go through. So, Greg, we have John with us.
We do.
Good morning, all.
Hey, yeah. So, John, would you be capable of just spouting out the party line like no matter what? I don't think so. Listening to the Bears last night, and they've got some guy on the sidelines. And evidently, the roof down there is busted from the hurricane. Now, did you catch this, Greg? A couple of panels got damaged by whatever storm or whatever it was. So they can't close it, or they could, but there'd be a hole in it. It looked kind of weird, I guess. So the roof is open. It's 88 degrees. So the guy's on the sideline talking about, it's 87 down here. Beautiful weather for football. Since when is 87 beautiful weather for football? It was nighttime, but that's a little warm. Just saying. I mean, it was obviously warm all over the Midwest, too, for football this weekend. It's been warm, but pretty interesting. Let's do the Major League standings first. American League, we've got the Yankees on top. We've got their division, the Guardians up top, and we've got the Astros up top. And right now, not that these teams can't be caught, they can, but Right now it looks like the Orioles, which are right behind the Yankees. Those guys, the Royals and the Twins, two out of the Central Division, would be the wild cards. Now, of course, the Tigers are only two games behind, and the Mariners are only two games behind, so somebody could get caught there. But that's where the American League looks. For the National League, we have the Phillies way out in front, the Brewers way out in front, and we've got the Dodgers a little bit out in front of the Padres. The Padres could catch them. I don't think they will. So that leaves the Padres, the Diamondbacks, and the Mets or the Braves in that wild card situation. The Cubs are five behind the Mets and the Braves, so they would need kind of a miracle. They almost got to win out, and somebody actually, both of those teams, that's the problem. It was one of them, maybe you could catch them, but if it's two, I don't see how you can. But stranger things have happened. They sure as hell didn't need to lose two to the Rockies. That killed them, I think, this weekend. But they are not mathematically eliminated, as they say, John.
That's as good as you can hope for in Chicago.
Yeah, as long as you're not mathematically eliminated, you're okay. But
the White Sox won two in a row for the first time since June, I want to say.
Well, if they go 500, they won't be the worst team ever, right? Is that the story?
Yeah, but the more recent news is they're going to cut payroll after the season.
The guys that they're paying aren't playing.
They're going to cut payroll because that's...
Well, Mankato, they get rid of him, right? And they got... It's... The Cubs raise their ticket prices. The White Sox are 35-115. What a disaster. Well, Oakland's not too far back, are they? They're, they're better. The Athletics, I thought they were almost as bad. They're not. They're 65-85. Well, nobody's anywhere near as bad as the White Sox. You see in the National League who the crummiest team is.
A league of their own.
Oh, yeah, Wearing skirts like those girls did. The Rockies
They're
are the
sexist.
Worst. Yeah, well, you know, they... You know what? I don't think you want to slide on those old diamonds and skirts. I don't think that'd be good for you. It's like,
ouch!
Yeah, it's like sliding in the old softball fields, like we did. Anywho, so John, we got the NFL, which has pretty interesting scores yesterday. My brother had his usual Sunday dinner, and one of the guys who's a police sergeant came over, and he was having some dinner, and a good softball player, good guy, and he was saying they've got one of those survivor pools going. I think there's 30 or 35 people started out. As of yesterday, they've got three left.
It was probably that KC, or wait, no, KC won.
Yeah.
That was wild.
Well, that game would never be one you picked. They've been 500 against each other for the last 3 years, except in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They won on the last play of the game. But the big one here was, we're not talking about preseason.
That penalty was the big game changer.
Yeah, well, the Vikings beat the 49ers, which is a minor upset. But you wouldn't have had the 49ers in your survivor pool.
Detroit lose to Tampa?
Yeah, somebody lost to Tampa. The Seahawks beat the Patriots. That's a nothing game. Giants and the Commanders are kind of 500. The Saints and the Cowboys, I think, might have been one. Cowboys got the first score, and they lost 44-19. I think the... Ravens losing again. The Raiders beating the Ravens might have been one. And the Rams got destroyed by the Cardinals.
The Harbaughs are 0-2 and 2-0.
Where's Jim at? He's at the.
They're San Diego.
All right, and then they're 2-0. They must be because the other guy's 0-2. I had a feeling that the Chiefs, when they were on the 40-some yard line with 2 seconds of play, were going to win, and they did. Justin Fields is 2-0. I don't know how good the Broncos are. The Steelers beat the Broncos. Are they bad?
He's doing the same thing, you know, 150 and a touchdown, but he's not making the crappy interceptions and the dumb plays, which is a testament to coaching.
Yeah, well, I think Mike Tomlin's a good coach. I mean, I really do.
Yeah, just a little.
Yeah, well, one of my attorney friends says that he's got a buddy in Pittsburgh that's like a fairly racist sort of dude, but he loves Mike Tomlin. Makes an exception for him. God, isn't that nuts? Anyway, Falcons Eagles are tonight. What do you make of the weekend in college sports? I watched the Irish and Purdue. I think I'm going to add Purdue to my list of teams that aren't really whole hog on this NIL. They look like their personnel belong on the same field as the Irish.
I've watched about 10 minutes of Alabama-Wisconsin. That was
a bit.
That was a good old-fashioned something kicking.
They said the Wisconsin lines on both sides got destroyed, and usually that doesn't happen on a Wisconsin offensive line.
Yeah.
Almost Kentucky almost beat Georgia. I was rooting for that, and then they didn't. So, John, the guy who runs the Buckingham Club these days, nice dude. I go over there and I always give him a bunch of grief pipe because the hot tub doesn't work. But anyway, I said, you watch any football? And he said, where'd you go to school? And I said, I went to Notre Dame. And he goes, God, I can't stand you guys. I go, why is that? Guess what he says.
I'm sure I've heard it from other people. But
guess what he said, Greg? You gave us Brian Kelly. I can't stand him. I said, we didn't like him either. He goes, I know that. You should have kept him instead of giving him to us.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, the gift that just keeps on giving. Russell's team won. Memphis beat somebody good, didn't they?
I mean, he's not bad. He's just kind of over the top.
Nobody likes the guy.
Nobody likes him, right. But who is going to be better?
Well, I mean, if you don't like somebody, you just don't like him. Players don't like him. Nobody likes him. I mean, yet he goes from place to place.
It's not about liking. It's about winning.
I guess.
Especially in the SEC.
Is this Florida State guy in the hot seat? He lost to Memphis. That's three in a row, right?
Yeah. There was a dude in the cheerleading section. Did you see those videos?
No.
He was dressed up as in like the tight, you know, tube top or whatever. And he had like some wig on. It was like sparkling wig. Now it wasn't like a real hair type thing. so strange.
Oh God. Well, Jan, we were talking about earlier, I don't know if you listened in on the Chinese social media thing coming to live about the Trump assassination attempt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yep.
What is that all about? Why do those guys? Well, of course, the article we referenced earlier seems to think that anything gets through on that thing is exactly like the government policy. I don't know. Is it that bad? That site, that website? What's it? Weibo, Greg? Its name is Weibo. I can dig back up here.
Yeah, Weibo.
Yeah, it's a. And now they're saying, of course, this is all done to get votes. You know, this is. You know, I wouldn't put past anything past anybody these days, but I really hope that's not the case. I don't think so. The guys out
well,
there.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's you know an arm of you know government communication, like everything else, really in China. If it isn't directly connected, it's sanctioned and tightly controlled, so that there's no divergent message. But it is, I think, important to consider about. What happened yesterday, and that this has an international tint to it that the July 13th assassination attempt does not have, with this, you know, the wingnut, the suspect, you know, and his, you know, flailing around about, you know, getting passports for people to go fight in Ukraine. I mean, this smacks of.
Oh, is that what's behind all this? That was this guy's talking about?
Yeah. I mean, this smacks of the kind of operations that the CIA was doing in the Bay of Pigs and has done, you know, forever, pretty much. So nothing really surprised me at this point. But this is a different kind of, you know, collection of, you know, competing interests. And it wouldn't surprise me that there'd be some kind of, you know, weigh-in by Chinese forces, too. It's got different components to it than the one 2 months ago.
Without launching into something about guns and those kinds of things and assault rifles. I'll see if you agree with me on this, Jack, because, you know, most of the guys don't agree with me at all, but if you were, let's say, a CIA or some wingnut who wanted to do something dastardly, but you didn't want to do it yourself, I got to believe that the recruiting field is about as fertile as it's ever been. With people that already have their own guns, they're already... God knows what they're listening to all day on one side or the other. I think the recruiting field, boy, that kid in it took the shot at him in Pennsylvania would have been an easy recruit, wouldn't he? I mean, I don't know if anybody got to him.
There's other suspects implicated in that attempt too that are not reported in the press. But yeah, did you ever see the movie The Parallax View?
You know, a long, long time ago, Jen. It was boy,
Warren Beatty and Hume Cronin, Paul Prentice, and it's, you know, sort of a variation on the theme of the Kennedy assassination. It's about a senatorial assassination in Seattle. And Anthony Zerbe plays one of these guys who's, you know, like sort of a placement bureau for, you know, hired assassins. And you know, the kind of testing that's done, and sort of, you know, screening that's done. And it's one of the few, you know, fictional or fictionalized, you know, impressions of that I've ever really seen in a Hollywood movie. And it's, you know, they get a chimpanzee to take one of the tests. And, you know, of course, the score, you know, gets Warren Beatty as the undercover guy, his second interview, pretty much. And it's pretty creepy stuff. So, but there's a lot of people around that are susceptible to this and are easily, you know, brought in or invited or seduced by, you know, people telling them how necessary they are and how important they are and how noble their cause is. So, yeah, there's no shortage of people that they could draw upon.
Well, we've been going back and forth, obviously, with the debate sort of started it, and we have some, I'm sure people are shocked we have some right-wing people on the show. Since Brendan hasn't been feeling so hot, I don't really have anybody from the left countering things, but we need a lefty, Jen, I think.
I'll have to tone it down my shtick.
Well, can you switch to lefty for a few weeks to counter things?
Well, I don't know if I can face myself, but God, I'll try to mellow myself, and certainly try.
But, you know, this is stunning to me, Jen, because, you know, as I've kind of gotten in the middle, or as Kevin says, I'm not in the middle, I'm in between. I don't know what the difference there is, but I look at what both sides and what the people on both sides are saying and all the crap that's flying out of their mouth, and none of it seems to be true, or very little of it on either side. And if you just take that view, it seems so obvious, but obviously I talk to people that are very liberal and very conservative. They don't have any idea what I'm talking about when I say your side has made this mistake or that mistake. I mean it's, I don't know. I mean, it almost seems like they used to say in the trading floor, you can't take a drink out of a fire hydrant. There's so much news out there, and people have regular jobs, they've got families, they don't have the benefit or the curse that I have, where my job is to watch this stuff for my clients, to see what's affecting the markets and act accordingly for them, right? So essentially, you know, not all my job, but part of it is to watch these currents and see if it affects anybody, so they can go on their merry way and operate on people and be a nurse or whatever else they do. But if you're just somebody catching bits and pieces of it, and you land onto your station, whichever side it is, and hear the drivel from that side, John, it's kind of awful. I mean, it really is unbalanced. It's really pretty scary, I think. I think the people who are the nefarious creatures on Earth, and there's a lot of them, probably are finding it real easy to find people. I mean, if you wanted to find somebody to do something to Harris, God, I hope there isn't somebody like that. I think it'd be pretty easy. Same thing with Trump. I mean, and that is scary to me. I mean, everybody's already got the arms. It's not like you got to go get the arms from. I mean, what was the one where the guy was trying to kill the Day of the Jackal? It took the guy 4 months to get a gun made. Now everybody's already got him, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just...
Well, the lack of moderation in political discourse generally has become, you know, grotesque in the last 10, 20 years, where there's no middle ground really in either of the main political parties. It's pretty hard to find a moderate. Everybody is trying to fly to the extreme end to separate themselves from anybody with a moderate voice. And the same thing has happened with, you know, the reporting of news and, you know, the pushing of extreme viewpoints or ramping up emotional impact by just, you know, sledgehammer tactics. And this has also been a way of getting attention on the internet, where voices of moderation are, you know, drowned out fairly easily.
Isn't that built into the business model?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you if you just look, it just any Twitter feed or anybody who's retweeting stuff, and you see the sort of stuff that people have been drawn to, and the reason that they find it important enough to pass on or to comment on, it's never subtle. It's never something that you have to read twice or three times, or that you want to read again at all. It's sledgehammer effect kind of stuff, often grotesquely overstated for maximum impact, because people are going to move on to something else in a couple seconds if you don't have a sledgehammer impact on them. So it's all about getting somebody's attention by the crudest possible means. And of course, when you record that, when you remember it, when you think about it, it's been completely amplified in your memory, all out of proportion to perhaps its truth value or your ability to persuade somebody by anything other than another sledgehammer attack. So this is hardly the way that people traditionally were able to absorb news. They wanted to do it in a deliberative way. They liked to read opposing things. They liked to read political cartoons by other people.
They even have those anymore? Points. When's the last time you saw a political cartoon?
Well, I think that's memeing has taken place at that time. And I guess it's a cheap way of doing it, because you used to have pretty intelligent artists, wonderful artists, doing political cartoons, political commentary. And some were broader than others. But nowadays, it's just taking somebody, slapping an image, photoshopping it, turning it into something else, and immediately getting a laugh out of it. You don't need a caption to it in most cases, or only a caption of the shortest, punchiest kind.
You can do it with music too. I don't know if you've heard the remixes of "They're Eating the Dogs." They're great.
Oh god.
Oh yeah. And this is it's crossing into entertainment, and you're getting your 15 seconds of fame or whatever by doing this, but these are not the sort of things that people tend to remember or tend to appreciate, or that other people really have any interest in improving or doing a better job with. I'm always impressed when I look back in newspaper archives and you look at the cartoonists and the Tribune.
Oh, they're terrific.
And the Daily News and the Bill Malden pieces. I mean, some of these things have haunted me all my life, and I can't even remember sometimes exactly what the political tilt of it was or what the subject matter was about, but the images have always stayed with
me. Did you ever have one of my friends, I hope he's still with us, with a really good artist, and he was in high school. He was terrific at caricature. Remember Dave Azzarello? You met him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Dave was terrific at it. It's interesting when somebody draws a caricature of you. It's weird. You sit there and go, really? Because everybody's got, a nose that's a little bigger or an ear that's a little bigger. And remember Nixon, when they went through the Watergate, the guy was doing the stuff that was at the Tribune? Every night his nose grew a little bigger, like Pinocchio or something. but they had every feature that you never even knew you had. It's on there, and it's freaky looking.
It almost takes the place of reality when they're done really well. Remember Melvin Laird, who was Nixon's Secretary of Defense, and he had this dome-shaped head, bald.
Oh, yeah, I remember them. They were nailing him.
Rooting eyebrows, kind of a, sinister-looking figure. But somebody, I forget which cartoonist, drew him as like a missile head.
Oh, God.
And it had eyes on it. And I've never been able to separate that image of Melvin Laird from any photograph that I can recall of him. He looks like this missile head.
There was a thing Johnny Carson had. Who was the guy who was the impersonator?
Oh, Rich Little?
Yeah, it must have been Rich Little. And Johnny Carson was convinced that, and it wasn't so much that he came out looking like you, Greg and Matt. He would. Most people don't even realize that they have, what do they call them in poker? What's the word in poker? You have ticks or whatever they call it? Or you have tells. You have tells, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And so Johnny Carson was absolutely convinced that Rich Little couldn't do him. And all of a sudden he walks out, and within like 2 seconds, he's like tapping his pencil on the desk and rubbing his ear. And Johnny Carson says, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You do that all the time." Then they show a picture of Johnny Carson. Sure enough, like 10 minutes before, he's tapping the pencil on the desk and rubbing his ear. Johnny Carson's going, "Hey, stop." He didn't even know he was doing it. And this other guy picked up on it. Anyway, Kevin says this dude had an authentic AK-47. That's not the home version. Where the hell did he get that?
Well, did you read about the, you know, he had his position flanked by duffel bags or, you know, that were filled with ceramic tile, and it enabled him to be undercover face-wise, so anybody who would see him from the other side, from the direction he was shooting or aiming towards, would, you know, not be able to get a read on where his head was or anything else, because these other things were, you know, prodded up against where he had the muzzle, and they were filled with ceramic tile, which would have been a nice way to deflect.
Last time I did a ceramic tile project, that stuff weighs a ton. How the hell? This was not a one-day project for his nest, was it?
No, and it was not a solo one, I don't think, either, Tom. I mean, none of these things really are solo. They're not. This has always been the lone nut theory of every assassination, successful or otherwise, really, in recent history. And it's never quite as simple or as kooky as everybody wants to imagine it is. It's always part of you know, it's the tip of another iceberg that never gets explored or
we'll
sized
talk about
up.
Talk about creatures from the right or the left and which president was horrible and which wasn't. Evidently, the Joe Biden guy, who'd be out in however many months, the guys in this Quora thing that I get are, every once in a while, there's a guy who brings up the subject of Kennedy's assassination again. And, of course, that thing, to me, I don't know how we can't name the people responsible for that, because clearly it's a hole. That and the Vietnam War were holes in my childhood, or, you know, early adulthood or whatever. And anyway, he's talking about, evidently they put a few more documents out not that long ago, right? And then Biden said that's it. That's as many as he's going to put out there, and there's something like 4,600 of them left. So what did he put out, like a couple hundred or something? Evidently, yeah. Some new names surfaced. Evidently, what this guy did for, you know, it was kind of a brief thing. I listened to the guy, but it was for a few months before, I don't know if it was a year or 2 years, I don't think it was that long, somebody from the CIA was intercepting Lee Harvey Oswald's mail. Now, why? But there was just a name, and his job was to intercept his mail. It didn't say who read it or who the contents were sent to, if they ended up just, you know, reading it and sending it back to Harvey Oswald or not. None of that seemed to be clear, but that was like a new name. And these guys are all over now. That everybody who worked on the Bay of Pigs was involved in this thing, being George Bush, Rumsfeld, a lot of guys from that era were, evidently they all worked on this Bay of Pigs thing with Alan Dulles. Is it Dulles? Or Dulles?
Dulles, yeah.
Dulles. And pretty strange stuff. I mean, one of these days we'll have to review a little bit of the Bay of Pigs, because it's a piece of our history that nobody seems to want to know. I bet Lou would be pretty good at that, and so would you, Jen. But we're going to go to break, and we come back. John's going to update us on the Uyghur situation, which nothing has changed since we did that show a long time ago. It's just another example of how, if the news isn't good, just kind of put it on the back page. It was just like, if ever there's a movie you want to see, well, I like to see it because I like Tina Fey to start with, but what was it, Foxtrot Tango and something? Whiskey, Foxtrot,
yeah,
and Tango.
Whiskey,
oh, yeah.
And it was, well, she's a reporter in Afghanistan. In order to get it on the front page here, it had to be more and more blood. So she had to keep going for bigger and bigger fiascos in Afghanistan just so she could get it printed over here. And I think, John, it's pretty darn true. Anyway, S&P futures down 4. NASDAQ futures down 85. We're leaking here a little bit. Be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
I have blisters on my fingers.
Well, North Bank Stocks and Jacks. Somehow, Matt Byrne on the board. SP Futures down 4. Nasdaq Futures down 82. John and Greg and Matt, I did mention that one of the guys that used to be associated with PTI, and this is not why he's not anymore, they did a lot of stuff with people in China. There's a lot of interaction between the agriculture departments. Greg, you've seen these guys wandering around the Board of Trade floor. A lot of agricultural, what do you call them, goodwill trips between here and there, between the Chinese, more so, I'm going to say 10 years ago when everybody was a hell of a lot friendlier. I wonder if they're still doing it. They maybe aren't. We had a group here. These guys had a group for, I'm going to say 10 days. And it's a long time to be entertaining people, so we got kind of dragged into it just to have a couple other people for them to talk to. We got dragged into a few things, but I got to do a couple of neat things. We did a barge tour of Illinois River, which was really neat. You guys ever been in one of those? I assume everybody's been in the locks between the Chicago River and Lake Michigan, where your boat moves like 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the locks in the Illinois River, you move like 150 or 200 feet. You're at the bottom of this thing, and you go, wait a minute, what if something screws up? And all of a sudden, the water starts coming in, and up you go, and there you are. And you're sitting there going, holy bleep, Batman. It's a whole different program. What are they, 200 feet high, John? Something, I think
they're huge. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they're 200 feet.
We got to tour an ethanol facility and, you know, did a bunch of stuff. And, this guy and his wife, they went over to China and did kind of brought people from here over there. And sure enough, one night at the dinner table, there was a dog, and I'm going, "Don't tell me." Well, you know, I said, "No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You could have gone with the rice and the soy sauce, and called it a deal." I don't know if they have soy sauce over there, but I said, "I don't care what they had. Don't worry, I'm eating a dog."
Yeah. Well, I hate to say it, Tom, but one of the more disturbing images I've had living in my neighborhood is seeing a very cute dog tied with rope to the back door of a Chinese Korean restaurant up on Lawrence Avenue. So, I almost called the police. I thought, I don't really want to start some battle here, but it shook me up, and you know, I can't really get rid of it in my mind. So.
I will probably go down this road a little bit, that if you're from other cultures, I mean, here, to me, it's, you know, I'm not a blaster of anything. I could never shoot an animal, but not saying people would do and do it the right way and, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not me. It is sort of stunning that people spend hours and days putting together some massive duck blind. And on their way to the duck blind place, there's a duck walking next to them on the sidewalk. I suspect if you're from other countries and you're just hungry, you think one duck's the same as another duck. Just thinking, but maybe not. Who the hell knows? But it is. What do you? As we move forward into the campaign season, guy, I wish the election was tomorrow. I really do. I mean, you know what, John? We probably have it tomorrow. Now, how many votes are going to change between now and the election? You think any?
Oh, it'll be, you know, very focused, I think, in only a couple states, too, where there's going to be any kind of noticeable movement. I think it's pretty much, you know, solidified. And, I mean, it will be interesting to watch, and there'll be endless polling. Not a lot of it, I don't think, very dependable. So it's quite slanted, as it always seems to be, have been. But
I mean, the poll's even. I don't see them slanted so far.
Oh, I mean, but traditionally, I mean, and you don't see who's doing the polls. That's the thing, because they all have an axe to grind in some way or another. Rasmussen is the only one I really pay any attention to as far as having, you know, a legitimate claim to being, you know, nonpartisan. They kind of call it as they see it. The rest of them, forget it. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't.
Well, how would you go about? I don't know. I never really saw you in any statistics class. Didn't mean you didn't duck in there when I wasn't looking. How exactly would you go about doing a random national poll of people who are expected to vote? How the hell would you even start that? How many people?
In this kind of climate, I think it's just a, you know, an illusion. You could never do it.
But people are going to do it every day for the next 50 days. You're going to hear somebody.
But I don't participate in phone calls, you know, asking for my opinion on pretty much anything, but especially about a presidential candidate. I just don't participate.
Okay, so what if your name comes up as one of the names that they have to have? Now what?
I'm going to decline.
I understand that, but with the last poll that came out that had, I think they had, was it a dead heat or something? Was it like 2 weeks ago? And I read the detail, it was 1,009 people nationwide. Well, from what I remember, a little bit about statistics and polling, you know, it's a long time ago, if you can have a small number of people, but you have to make sure that the number is random, meaning not people you happen to bump into on Michigan Avenue, meaning a random number table or a random number generator out of the computer, and you have to find that person. You can't show up here on a Monday and Greg Pappas is the name you got to get and say, he's not here, we'll just do Matt Byrne instead. You can't do that. I mean, you could if your poll was 200,000 people, you'd probably get away with it, but if it's 1,000 people, you can't do that at all. One or two people could blow the whole thing.
Right. Well, and even if you could identify people who you thought were, you know, not likely to think one way or the other, or to get some kind of balance in your sampling, I just don't think you can trust people today to be honest in the way they responded to the poll. And that's why, you know, Trump was polling like 5 to 6 points under his performance in both 2016 and 2020. I think more in 2020, because people do not want to commit themselves, especially over the phone.
But how would you trace, again, one of the, these are just opinions of people, right? Somebody wrote in and said, how is Trump going to win the election? And this guy was, you know, some half-assed statistician. And he said, if you look at the demographics of it, it's going to be very difficult for him to win. Now, again, one man's opinion. He said, but if you look at some from 8 years ago till today, he said, sorry to you and you and Lou and Carl, but a lot of the real hard conservatives that will vote for a conservative no matter who it is, like even Trump, I'll say, they're of a certain age group. Generally, not everybody. There's a lot of young people who vote for the guy. I mean, I get it, but generally, again, general opinion is what I'm talking about. So if you look at that and how many of those people have died in the last 8 years versus how many people that are now eligible to vote that weren't eligible to vote 8 years ago.
Or ineligible, but are still here anyway.
But I'm just if you look at the demographics of the you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old, you know, girls, for I'll say that Taylor Swift evidently incited the... That was sort of already going on in some of the places. Now, how do you poll those people? I mean, to me, it's almost like the Brexit thing in Britain. You didn't know they were polling people. Maybe they just polled everybody in London. Well, Robert was a Stocks and Jocks predicted the Brexit vote. We were the only ones, John. You were on the show at the time. We're the only ones.
Oh, I know. Yeah. That was right before I came on the show. But yes, you couldn't get anybody in Britain to say that Brexit had a fighting chance at all.
And yet,
officially.
So I mean, I don't know how you're here. You would gauge that. Maybe the alleged 600,000 people that signed up, and okay, it could be all BS, or the number could be 60,000, or it could be 6,000. I mean, I don't know. But the point is, I don't know how, if I'm a pollster and I see that, I go, right, how exactly do I account for this? You know, I can say I'm glad I'm not a pollster, but it's, I think we're going to go into the election blind, to be honest with you, and that's probably the best way to go into it.
You know? If you could be, truly prepared for anything, yeah. And that immediately presume fraud or put your hand on the scales or something else, which I'm afraid cannot be ruled out anymore with the way the last election was conducted, courtesy of COVID, lockdown and everything else.
Well, it goes back.
Trying to get back to some kind of normal voting process, Tom, is going to take longer than I have left to live. But, it's the only way, I think, to make people.
I'm for, and everybody's got me, compared to the guys I'm on the show with, got me as this liberal fiend. I want people back at the polling places.
Election day.
Yeah. Or, I would do, though? I'd go the more European model. I might go Saturday, Sunday. Because of the difference in religion, some can't do stuff on Saturday. And
That's infinitely preferable to what we've cultivated now.
But not if you're a politician. This whole idea, whenever somebody comes out and says, I don't have an AK-47 and I would not use one no matter what, but whenever somebody comes out and says, it doesn't matter who you vote for, especially a politician, it doesn't matter who you vote for, it's important that you vote. No, it's not. And if you don't vote for him, he doesn't want you there. Who's kidding who?
Well, did you catch the New York Times story the other day? It's going to take a long time to get election results this time. Well, that's what they've been saying since 2020, and that's why people distrust the process. And it's all part of a way to get more people distrusted, too, I think.
Well,
really wanted people to have confidence in the results, you'd have results within 24 hours.
I also would do the I think it would be fairer. I know Kevin will argue with me about this, because I'm not accusing him of this, but some people's idea of fairness is if their side wins. He's not like that, but I don't know if I would go to a straight popular vote, but the more I think about it, John, the more I'm favoring the Nebraska model, which, for those that don't know, it's an electoral college thing, but every district that has the electoral college is what you get as many representatives if you have plus the two for the senators in the state or something.
Yeah.
So if you win, if Trump, for instance, wins 15 districts, and I don't know how many electors do we have left in Illinois? We keep dropping.
I think 19. Yeah.
Didn't we have 40 at one time or 35 or something?
Yeah. Well, we had a lot more than 19, as I recall.
So say we have 19. Right now, I think it's totally unfair that if, Illinois, I'm assuming, is going to be a blue state. Well, there's a lot of people that voted for Trump here or will vote for Trump. I think they should be counted somehow. Now, again, the halfway point for me between the Electoral College and the and a popular vote would be if Trump wins, if there's 19 of people and he wins five, let's say, Republican districts in southern Illinois, he should get five of the 19, in my opinion. Because this idea that, the thing about the Florida situation with the hanging chads and all the other BS, I'm thinking, John, anybody who's ever taken a statistics course is going to say that's a statistical dead heat. And half of the vote should have gone one way and half the other. I mean, for it to all go one way with the Supreme Court deciding when nobody could. And I'm not, now the Democrats would say, or the conservatives would say, Chief's got this big thing about hanging chads. No, don't. The hanging chads, I think, were a big benefit to was Gore, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I also think the fact that the national TV called the state for Gore, which they're not supposed to do until the polls are completed, totally forgetting that the panhandle's in the central time zone. I think an awful lot of people in the panhandle didn't go out and vote because they thought it was already done. So I'm gonna call the Chads versus that even. So I'm not saying that it was all, you know, that Gore should have got the Chads, and I think Bush got harmed dramatically by that. But either way, the vote was pretty much 50-50, right? And I'd like to see half and half on that one. Just me.
Well, the trouble with that and having these closely contested elections is that the scrutiny on particular places and particular voting irregularities and the promotion of irregularities, because you know that everybody in the political world is focusing on these places where they can twist results, or where there isn't much supervision, or where you have a crooked state's attorney or an election commissioner. Who knows what people on the inside know about what's happening? I think you just magnify the problem of getting elections that people feel comfortable and confident in. It's not an improvement over what we have. It might make a difference in how people campaign if they thought they had to hit certain, you know, congressional districts within a state that they would otherwise not give the time of day to. But I don't know if that's going to really improve.
I don't like the idea that there are Republican places in Illinois that end up having no vote. There are Republican places in California that end up getting no vote. And I think there are Democratic places in a state that goes red. I think, and they get no vote. I don't like that. Just me. I mean, nobody's going to do this on my word. I just think that it's kind of crazy.
It's always shifting, Tom, and this is the way I kind of justify it in my own mind, that none of these balances really are forever. By that, I mean, you look at Florida, which was a toss-up state, really, you know, highly competitive until now, and it's, you know, firmly Republican, and that's because of lots of ideas about demographics and the way state elections have played out and so on. So, but it's constantly happening, and I think this is why I think people have to be a little more patient about what happens in an election cycle. I see Illinois changing. I mean, I don't mean necessarily in a good way, but population-wise, we're becoming less and less relevant. And I don't know how, you know, changing the way our electors are counted matters if we have fewer and fewer electors.
Well, I don't disagree with that. I just think that if I'm in a county in Illinois where the representative is Republican, and Trump wins that district by 95%, what is the point of going to the polls if you're that person? I never want to see anybody not. I mean, of anybody, well, I'm not saying in this world, could be in Russia, I guess. Anybody in this country who walking down the block to the, when I still go on the day of the election, and voting for people. You think my district could be like the worst, Jen? The state representative, the state senator, we're a little tag-along piece of, it's really the district is way west, and it's 95% black, right? And a little finger comes into our area. There's no way that either the state rep or the state representative or the state senator, he didn't even know our area exists, he or she. By the way, they're never going to come by. And by the way, we probably wouldn't want them. You know? I mean, it's not like we. By the way, my neighborhood's very integrated. It's not like it's all white, but I'm saying it's a part of Lincoln Park. It's very gentrified, and it's just a little like kind of piece they stole and ran to the west side with the district, and everybody else is unopposed, right? Pretty much. I mean, what's the point of walking down the block? And it doesn't really matter if I was a Trump voter. What's the point? And if I'm a Harris voter, what's the point? I don't get counted there either. So
there be any point then in giving these kind of little, you know, gerrymandered areas the right to select, you know, a president? I don't know if that.
Well, I mean, the representative, the U.S. representative district is a lot bigger.
Yeah, but it's also very twisted, as we know.
No matter how you twist it in Illinois, you're going up with some Republican districts. And my point is, they're not represented. And if
there's plenty. You go outside of Chicago, Tom, there's lots of Republican districts.
They're not represented in the presidential election. All 19 are probably going to go to Harris. And I don't think that's right, because it's not unanimous here.
I don't see a way of doing that without making the elections less credible. I mean, it has the impression of giving everybody a voice that they formerly didn't have. I think it's going to actually somehow at the opposite.
It's not. It's not perfect to me. It's halfway between a popular election and I think the mess we have now. I think the Electoral College is a disaster. I mean, I always have.
I think it's the one thing I want to see preserved.
Well, I mean, that's because the Republicans love the idea that they can lose the popular election and still get a guy in the White House once in a while. Well, okay, fine. I guess that's one way of looking at it, but it's not my way of looking at it.
That's why we're not a democracy, Tom, you know?
Well, I think most people think we maybe ought to be.
I don't know. That the reason that the Electoral College became crucial in getting the Constitution ratified by the colonies was to prevent what the Electoral College really does prevent.
Well, you should be walking around with a white wig and a big vest and those funky shoes they used to wear.
No, otherwise you're giving away, you know, power over national elections
to the people,
geographically
to the people,
part of the country.
Well, okay.
Which is what nobody in the smaller colonies wanted. They didn't want any part of that.
Nobody ever wants. And I'm as guilty as this as the next person. I mean, because I think everybody is. Everybody who sits there, like, you know, somebody like me, for instance, I'm not a big shot. I'm good at what I do. My clients like me, I think, or they wouldn't be here for a long time. Now, I'm not. You know, and I don't have some massive ego about stuff other than, you know, I know something about economics and I know something about softball. Other than that, I mean...
I'm no more disturbed by the way the Electoral College treats my vote than I am by the fact that two senators in the state of Illinois.
I think it's...
Nothing in common with me.
I think it's a total anachronism.
That system.
You know? I think it's a historical artifact that... But my point is that, Jan, you know, I try and... I mean, hell, we do a show every day. We try and educate people, okay? I try and draw knowledge out of everybody, even people that disagree with me and everything. They're friends, but they disagree with me and everything. And it doesn't matter, because it's good knowledge. People should have it. Even the people on the left should know what Carl's saying, because he has a lot of good things to say. I mean, that you wouldn't normally understand unless you listen. And there's people on the left, might have to get somebody, that you might actually want to listen to them. They might have something decent to say, although a lot of Republicans would say, no, there isn't anybody over there, but that's not true. But what I'm saying, Jan, is that somewhere, if I went down the block to vote, knowing that my vote is worth, you know, it's less effective than me peeing in the ocean. I get that part. But if all of a sudden some bus showed up, where you're giving people, what did Karen Reeves say, Matt? Her grandmother used to get a turkey. No, it was a turkey and a pair of pantyhose. Now, if I see a bus showing up, and they all walk in and say, "Vote for Flanagan," I'm going to sit there and go, "Well, that's interesting." Maybe, and the first thing in my mind is nobody there has paid a nickel of taxes ever. Well, which is untrue because they buy stuff at the store. And I mean, my first thought is my vote should count more than theirs, which I think from day one people have felt. First, it was landowners, and right. I mean, my vote should, you know, count more than those guys' vote or whatever. I mean, it's. But I don't know that I don't know how you do that in a democracy, but we do it a little bit. I'm just saying, we're not going to solve this one. Plus, what are the chances of us changing anything for the better, even the day I'll settle for changing the day we vote on to a Saturday or a Sunday. How's that? I'd be happy with that. You can have the Electoral College if you give me the other part.
Well, since we've changed it to, what, voting over 50 days now or 40 days, you know, and mailing them in, God knows under what pretense that it's an authentic ballot, to me, that's unbelievable. But I'll take having Sunday voting as a compromise.
Well,
or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday voting. That would be better than this disaster.
If somebody could explain to me, I mean, here's the, and I know all kinds of people. Greg Pappas probably, you know, he's a much more of a modern sort of dude in this regard. And Matt Byrne probably is too, although won't say so. Somehow or another, you have to devise a system which going to the polls does, I think, and I did, because there's judges from both sides there and somebody else. Matt Byrne walks in. They actually asked me for my driver's license once because somewhere along the line became some lazy ass. Instead of writing Thomas Howe, I write Tom Howe. So, and in the book, it says Thomas, and then I scribble down Tom, and they go, "Do you have any evidence of you've changed your signature?" And So I pull up my driver's license and it says time, and they go, okay. But in other words, there's an identification process of me, and then they give me the ballot. I go behind the little thingy, and I hand it in the envelope. I put it in the machine without anybody looking. So there's a way to separate identifying the person and not be able to tie him up to the ballot. Now, if the entire district votes Trump, I guess they know I voted Trump, right? But other than that, you don't really know. And I have not seen any way on the electronic or the mail-in stuff where you can not be able to identify afterward whose vote was who and still identify people. And that's why I don't like it. The idea that you sign the envelope, somebody checks the envelope, sees the ballot, puts the ballot in, and throws the envelope away. I think, you know what, John, whatever side it is, in my mind, that's flawed. Because there's not people there looking and saying, okay, when I'm standing there. Just saying.
Well, I've had enough experience doing record exams for challenging signatures on nominating petitions.
Oh, God.
Family members, where you are trying to get somebody stricken from the ballot because they've got fake signatures.
Boot them off. Boot them off. Way off.
But you know, you'd be amazed at, you know, and these are notarized statements of, you know, somebody who supposedly got this authentic signature, and there's nothing authentic about it. Every signature on the petition sheet is in the same color, the same handwriting, everything. But you know, you take that kind of crookedness, and then you think about extending that to the ballot process, which is what we have now.
Yeah,
forget it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The whole signature system.
What's it going to take to reverse that, Tom? Mail-in balloting now seems to be, you know, it's the thing that's supposed to really encourage participation. And the elections has had exactly the opposite effect. Everything they've done to minimize the importance of election day results in smaller turnouts.
Well, plus, I don't get the motivation. Even when Manny Weber, we moved to a new place. He used to live upstairs in my building, and our place, of course, again, I'm speaking for myself, which is wrong, because I literally walk out the door and I walk maybe 300 feet and walk in the place, and there's never anybody there. So it can't be any easier. The idea of me going on a Tuesday morning downtown somewhere in some building and waiting in line early, I don't know what moron would do that unless you're going to be out of town or something. So Maddie decides, he and Jill, to go do voting early. I go, Maddie, what are you doing that for? Plus, you're probably still registered back here. They went to some place on a Saturday. He goes, the air conditioning was off, hotter than hinges of hell. They had to walk up three flights of steps with people waiting on all the steps. I go, what are you doing that for? He goes, I don't know. Jill wanted to do it. It's the dumbest thing I ever did. I don't know. For me, it was always so convenient. I think some places it's not so convenient, John. And I think people are trying to make it I think in the areas where Republicans are in power, they want to make it less convenient for people. I don't know. It's hard to... Both sides tries to minimize the ability of the other side to vote against them, right? I mean, I guess it's human nature. SB Futures down 4, Nancy Futures down 89. John, want to hang through for Nancy? She always likes it when you do.
Yeah, we'll have to save our Uyghur discussion for another time, Tom.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Well, give us 2 minutes when she comes on, though, and it was a summary, and then we'll save it for another time. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at ptisecurities.com. That's ptisecurities.com.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our Better Business Bureau A-rated team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Call now for a free case review and a low price guaranteed quote to get you protected today. Call now, 800-388-4901. That's 800-388-4901. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-388-4901.
Stocks, jocks,
Starks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell, Matt Byrne on the board. I'm going to buzz through this real quick because we're just waiting for the Fed stuff tomorrow and Wednesday. Again, the announcement is 1 o'clock Central Time, and then the news conference is afterward. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 96. Now, we had a huge week last week. Nothing really going crazy. We've got oil down a little bit. We've got gold down a little bit. And Asian markets are moving some. Europe, not so much. Nikkei is down 251.7. Hang Seng up 53.3. Shanghai down 13. We talked about that with Russell last week. I mean, his Chinese market, 2704, just hanging. Matt, give it a real quick sports and stuff, and we'll go right to Nancy and Jen.
Yeah, real quick, 66 degrees here in Chicago. Mostly sunny skies today with a high of 89. Phoenix, 82 degrees with a high of 101. MLB, we saw White Sox win against the Oakland Athletics 4-3. Cubs beat Colorado Rockies 6-2. And yesterday in the NFL, Bears lose their first game of the season. Texans 19-13, and Packers beat Colts 16-10. All over to you, Chief.
Do we have Nancy?
We do indeed.
Yes,
Nancy, how are you? John was going to give us a full report on what happened to the Uyghurs since our last show a few years ago, and of course we didn't talk about that at all. So he's going to give us like a 1 minute summary, and then we're going to launch into real estate with you. So, John,
John can go on all he wants. I'll listen.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, quick recap, Tom, since you had Kuzad Altay on back in, that's 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah.
And I listened again to his podcast. I would say, Congress passed a law the following year, the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act went into effect in 2022 to bar the importation of goods produced by forced labor by the Uyghurs. And of course, there's lots of loopholes to this, as there always are with these, protective bills. And the Chinese know all the ways around them, I think. I would say generally, the news of the Uyghurs and what's happening to them in, mainland China is off the radar. The stuff you can find out about them is fleeting, and it tends to be in think tank kind of publications like Human Rights Watch or the Jesuit magazine,
America. Jen, they're a specific geographical region in China that China has essentially taken over, right?
Right, and renamed, and now they're transplanting ethnic Chinese into it as they've depleted the area of its resident Uyghurs and put them into forced labor, or they've fled, or however they've gotten out of there. And the Chinese are now importing ethnic Chinese to these abandoned homes and building up the population there, which is a time-honored way of dealing with a despised subgroup of the population. And the Chinese are also I would say fanatical when it comes to controlling the Uyghurs outside of China. where they have really, I think, done everything they can to silence opposition in other countries, domestic organizations that are, you know, watching out for Uyghur interests, I think are highly scrutinized and highly, you know, probably penetrated by the Chinese. I think their espionage and everything has just been ramped up in the last couple of years in this country, not just, you know, what was going on in China. And the case with Governor Hochul in New York, you know, a couple of weeks ago was, I think, proof positive of how, you know, the Chinese upper echelon has their tentacles in state government, you know, in the Congress, and I think in the White House, I hate to say it. But the Uyghurs are definitely off the radar. You don't see anybody in the mainstream press talking about them, mentioning them. I don't see any initiatives that tighten up the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act or get rid of the de minimis loophole in imported goods. There doesn't seem to be any, you know, interest in looking out for things like the, you know, production of solar panels, which yeah. I think the Uyghurs were heavily involved in. And, you know, whether it's Uyghur produced or not doesn't seem to matter to people pushing solar energy these days. That's taken a second, you know, or third spot to, you know, green energy proposals.
Nancy, just as a way of history and chat too, this is probably the one interview I was, since I've been doing the show, is most nervous about, because I forget if it was Chris or Kathy got this gentleman as a guest. They said, now look, Chief, don't be your usual self and ask him all these probing questions, because his parents are still over there and they're probably going to be listening, they being. So I'm sitting there going, what do I even ask the dude? And I don't want to get the guy's mom killed. What did I say, like two words? And the guy just talked for like 15 minutes about how rotten the Chinese were. Did I even ask him a question, John, before he just said basically...
Yeah, a lot to say. You know, the leadership of the Uyghur American Association has changed, so Kuzat is now the president now. But there's, you know, it's still in operation. But I was very, you know, disappointed to see how little this registers. Just looking, you know, in, you know, articles in the last 6 months or a year, how infrequently this registers.
Yeah, nobody cares. If you're out for a week, that's why give the news on Friday night and you're good to go by Monday. But Matt, how about tweeting that one out? See if anybody wants to listen to it. And next week we'll sneak through it again a little bit. Sorry to take some of your time up, Nance, but it was interesting. Maybe you have a chance to listen as well, because it was pretty interesting. Now nobody cares. It's like the weirdest thing. But what's going on in your world? I understand you're actually getting some biz with you always have some biz, but the rate's going down a little bit. It's picking up just a little, isn't it?
Rates are supposed to go down this week, probably into the fives.
No.
So if anybody wants to cash out and refi, this would be the time to contact me, that's for sure.
So if somebody is wearing one of these 7.5 jobs in the fives, you can certainly help them.
That's correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are supposed to go down into the fives. That's what we were predicting on Friday. So let's see what happens.
Where's the spot where somebody who's got a 3 and all of a sudden has another kid and is short a bedroom, when do they make the move? Low fives or where?
Well, you would, if they really, you know, now would be the time, because no one knows what's going to happen after, you know, no one knows who's going to get in office. No one knows what's going to happen after the election. So, and this $25,000 rebate she's talking about for homeowners, you know, right now that would go against the rules that are in place. So we'd have to see how that would work out. They're going to have another committee and go through a bunch of stuff before they could even allow something like that to happen. So
even if it worked, it'd be 2 years away?
I have no idea. I mean, it's a presidential mandate. I guess it'll be done, but it just goes against, you know, if you didn't want 2008 or 2007 to repeat itself, that you would just could not take this rule at face value. Let's put it that way. So I'm not saying there isn't a way they couldn't do it, but they're going to have to put in some stringent restrictions around it.
Well,
so
it seems, Nance, that, I don't know, this is just one man's opinion, and Jen, the our government, and I say that in the last how many years, 20 years we've had. Well, 20, well, how long we've had? We've had 12 and 12. The last 24 years, we've had 12 years of Democrats and 12 of Republicans. And if you look at the virtually any line of economic stuff, be it inflation, be it money supply, be it deficits, you can't tell when one person walks in and the other one walked out, damn near, which is kind of crazy for people who are so one-sided on this stuff. But I think the current, even though they're not about to come out and say, by the way, inflation was really 40, not 20, or something else, or people have income haven't caught up with things, there's a serious sense all around that an awful lot of people are hurting over a long, when I say hurting, not today or tomorrow, but, well, some people are, or homeless, but there's a strain, an economic strain, between how much people were making over that period and how much prices have gone up. So instead of saying, looking in the mirror and going, hey, it was all our fault, both of them, Trump and Harris, Republicans and Democrats, they're not going to do that. So they're going to say, all right, what can we do to somehow, since the housing price has gone up from $250 to $400 and nobody can afford it, let's find a way to give somebody $25,000, and without admitting that we're the idiots that drove it from $250 to $400. Is that what you're sensing, Nance, or am I totally off here?
Well, I don't see anybody in any political position taking fault for anything, so I'm not sure if you're asking me that question. But
no, I think that one's a given. They're not about to say we did it.
Yeah, I agree. So, but I don't think giving someone $25,000 is the answer to anything except, you know, more trouble. I believe that you should probably, you know, I don't know if you can turn back the clock and lower some of these prices, but it is getting, people are hurting, and what they're going to do about that, I don't, but that really to me is the problem. Giving people home ownership for a generation right now that doesn't even know if they want to have a home ownership. You know, some people are convinced that renting and not owning a car and just Ubering is really the way to go. Just do not have any of this responsibility. So I can't say what the answer is, but I do know that I'm not for just giving someone $25,000.
I'm with you. But it's like the classic, we screwed it up. We put this hurt on you, but now we're going to help you. It's like, okay. But
giving them $25,000 really isn't going to, it's not going to help the overall cause of things, let me tell you. It's not an answer. It sounds great, but it's not the answer to anything. I mean, people need people need relief, but in what form that they get it, I just don't know. I don't have the answer for that. But this $25,000 thing is supposed to come, someone told me, in the form of a tax credit. That's really not going to help anybody.
No. That's,
I mean,
curious.
People, if they couldn't afford to buy the house, what do they need a $25,000 tax credit for?
Nancy, I'm wondering if in your interviews with your customers, I know this is probably hard to determine, do you see any trends in the way people are managing their credit in the last year or so? Just by the way, when you look at people's credit scores or the amount of debt they're carrying, do you see trends of any kind? Are people, you know, getting out from under their debt? Are they, you know, in a worse position?
They're getting more into debt. They're using more and more credit cards. And the other thing I see is a lot of people, and I'm not sure, I haven't seen a consistent answer to, if you get COVID, right, and you, especially if you get it at work, what responsibility does the employer have to let that person stay home and still pay them? Remember how they were paying people to just, if you had COVID, you did get paid. I'm seeing people not get paid. So I'm seeing some people starting to go to work with COVID, which just, you know, right now COVID is nothing worse than a really, really bad cold and you feel sick for about a week. But that still spreads, right?
Yeah.
So I've seen that go on, and then I've seen the credit card debt is just soaring up. And I have seen people apply more and more for, you know, 2-3-4 month forgiveness, and they're adding it onto the back of their mortgage debt. So how is that really going to help anybody? Nice. Talking about a $25,000 credit, it's not that doesn't. I just don't see where that's helping anybody.
Well, plus, if that person is in that kind of hurt, $25,000 credit on your federal income tax, they might not even be paying that much.
That's right. Correct. That's what I'm saying. Right. I just don't see where this. But all people hear is they're going to get something for free. They're not really understanding what that means.
Now, if the governor were to say, if you buy a house in Chicago Heights or Flossmoor, and we'll give you $25,000 cash to pay your property tax, I think that would probably help Flossmoor and Chicago Heights, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, just yesterday I had a conversation with somebody about man lost his job. The wife is still working, and he's, I don't know, 62 maybe. And
that old fart.
They're saying that, you know, he's trying to go for Social Security disability. And they're saying that he should just go on Social Security disability. But she said it's such a low amount of money, it's not going to really help them all that much. And then the next thing out was that their taxes went up over $2,500 over the past year.
Why didn't he just apply for regular Social Security at 62?
Well, that's what. She's saying it wouldn't pay them enough. It's just because now the retirement age is close to 67.
Well, I mean, you're still going to get something if you work.
I understand what you're saying, but they were saying it means nothing, right? It's not enough. But I don't believe there's going to be a distinction between what you get for Social Security disability or your Social Security. It's going to be very close to the same. I'm sure they use very close to the same formula. They don't give you more because you're disabled.
No, you just get it earlier.
Yeah, you're just taking it earlier. So I couldn't correct their thinking because they were thinking emotionally, not logically. And they, like I said, well, have you thought about, you know, selling your home or buying down, or what do you feel would be a solution for you? And honest to God, it was just, There was none. There was no comforting them at all yesterday. Nothing.
Wow.
And it's sad because this is the reality of what's really going on out there. I don't know if either candidate really even knows it.
Oh, I don't think they. When was the last time? Well, I don't think either. Maybe, because she's younger and hasn't been involved in this stuff as long, she might have a little bit more, but that's a mite. You know, I don't know how long it takes in Washington to where you never lowered a limousine window. I don't know if it's, I'd say 5-6 years ago, she was closer to the common man than Trump. But that doesn't mean it hasn't all been messed up by now. What would you say, John, objectively?
Well, I don't know if Harris ever had, you know, anything approaching it, you know, the experience of the rest of the world. I mean, she's really always been a public servant. She's never had a job except what government was willing to hire her.
It was a tremendous difference in how she grew up than Trump. I mean, the dad skipped out, the mom was doing this and that, and she had the friend when they moved to Toronto, the friend who was being abused. She talked the mom into bringing her into their house and stuff. Way different than Trump's upbringing. I'm not saying, I'm saying for a while at least, I think she was with regular people.
Well, they lived in the best zip code in all of Canada, Westmount, you know, Montreal.
I thought they were Toronto, but anyway.
Her
mom was a PhD, right? I mean, she was no dummy.
Yeah, she got a good job at McGill. I mean, I don't know if that was, you know, she could have probably gotten other jobs. I don't know exactly why they went to McGill, but living was certainly cheaper in Montreal then than it, you know, maybe now. But I just don't think she ever had any sense of what, you know, she never worked at McDonald's.
No, I don't
think she knows what the average person is struggling
with. But even if you did, how long in Washington do you lose the connection, I guess is my point. I mean,
well, she lost it long before she went to Washington.
Well, probably. I mean, how do you maintain it? I mean, if I were to, I mean, Roosevelt did because he did everything he possibly could to have people send him letters that weren't intercepted by anybody along the way. I don't think anybody does that now or even wants to.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't think anybody would even, it would even get that far. Like, I went to a retirement party Saturday night, and it was interesting. It was for doctors, and a doctor had retired, and he's still friends with some of the doctors that he went to med school with, right? And how they got to school was out of the 5 days, you know, each one drove, and they drove in a Pinto, five guys, two in the front, two in the back, one in the hatch.
One in the hatch.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying that's what we're talking about. Did Camille have this experience? I don't think so.
I bet they all couldn't fit in the Pinto now. I bet they're a little bigger.
Well, doesn't matter, but it was
still...
You want
to wear an asbestos suit, you know?
Yeah, but it was still the way it was back then.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know,
we all remember it back then.
You always remember it.
Doesn't sound much different, right? And so this was, you know, we've been there. We understand what this is about. And there isn't that anymore. It's just a whole different lifestyle now than what, you know, it just so happens we went through. I'm sure John just came out of the crib, but...
Oh, yeah, he was hatched. He was hatched as John. John, how many people used to stuff in my old Oldsmobile on the way to the bar?
Yeah. But but can you imagine the fifth guy in the Pinto if they got rear-ended, they got blown up? But anyways, that is really a good... I mean, that shows you get it, you understand it, you know, da-da-da-da-da, and today you would never hear anything like that.
Well, you know, it's as somebody who's saddled watching the TV during the day for clients and stuff, it's kind of, I don't know if you guys, you know, you probably do, but you see people who, I don't know who the guys with the gray hair, the guy who used to be on the Fed, I haven't seen him too much in a while, but once he's off the Fed and he comes on CNBC as a contributor, all of a sudden he's got all kinds of solutions. You know, doesn't agree with this, doesn't agree with that, and the other one is the lady from, she used to be the head of the FSLIC, the Federal Savings and Loan thing. They run the savings and loan people and the mortgages and all that stuff. Was it Sheila something something? Is it Blair or Blair, whatever? All of a sudden she's obviously a very bright lady, and all of a sudden now she's talking about this policy is bad, that policy is bad. And I'm thinking, God, when she was in there, they were all great. I mean, there's some co-opting that goes on here. I remember vividly my first meeting at the CBOE board, and since two of us were elected from the outside, not from the nominating committee, the other guys didn't know what to make of us. And in the first meeting, all they did was talk about everything that was said in the meeting stays in the meeting, and nobody gets to find out what we talked about and all this stuff. And I nudged the guy I ran with, and I go, "I think they're talking about us." He goes, "Yeah, they are." You know, you become so co-opted that you wonder, what if somebody were to ask Powell Wednesday afternoon, "Hey, Chairman, what do you really think of the CPI numbers? What do you think he'd say, Nance?"
Obviously, whatever he was told to say, right? I mean,
he'd say, we don't question it. It's a professional government agency, and we just take what they give us, or something. Wouldn't he, Jen?
Refer to my comments of May 15th.
Yeah, when I said these guys were the best. Up. I mean, you wonder, you get, there's a certain amount of co-option you sort of need, but how much, I guess, is the question.
Obviously, they're hoping they can still feed us, and we're going to eat it all up and not question it, right?
Well, so your business, you're open for business, and if somebody's gotten a 7.5, they should call you like this morning, right? Well, before
absolutely, but it's still 80% is still in the threes. But if you're gonna, you have to make a move now, probably is the time.
How many people did you land into in the upper sevens? It couldn't have been that many. I mean, I'm sure there were some, but.
Not that many. People just couldn't afford to make the move. But now, even though the rates are coming down, right? You're okay. Everybody thought when the rates come down, this will open up, right? But now you have new things that got in the way, like these people that are saying their taxes went up, their real estate taxes went up. Very few people are saying theirs went up less than $2,000. I mean, they're all saying that they went up much more than they ever expected or thought.
Why are they not affecting? I mean, if you do, obviously you do the math. That's what you do all day. If there's kind of two numbers. One is how much can I afford per month, right? And then what the price, the insurance, the taxes, and the rate. And if I can afford $4,000 a month, and you can get me into this house for that number, I'm in, right? Type of thing. But there's four components. There's the taxes. There's the insurance. There's the mortgage, which obviously is the biggest. Well, in some areas, mortgage isn't the biggest. The taxes are the biggest. In some areas, are really that screwed up. And then there's the rate. But
right. So it's the whole thing. It's what you're saying. It's not just the principal and interest anymore. I mean, I sit next to someone who actually works in the savings and loan industry. And he told me how much he made, and I was surprised, but I'm talking about surprisingly low.
Yeah.
And I said, well, do you have any debt? I mean, that's really what's going to, he's got a car payment, and he's got school loans, and I just said, okay, so let's just say you make, $6,000 a month, and you buy something for, $350, which is probably, I think the average price now is in the threes.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. The mean price is 406 countrywide.
Okay. So, all right. So you follow where I'm going.
Median price. Sorry. Median price.
Right. And so we follow where we're going with this, and his payment would be about, at least $2,500. Okay, and then if you add on a school loan and a car payment, he's just way over his DTI.
Well, if all else is being equal, and Nancy, you might be the only person I could ask this without going through. If all of a sudden your combination of taxes and insurance, you keep talking about this $2,000 number and the taxes, and I'm saying the insurance has got to be up some. So let's call it $200 a month. If all else is being equal, what does that shave off the price you're willing to pay for the house? 5%? 10%? It's got to be close.
Oh,
3%?
It's even more than that, because those numbers are hard numbers. You can't – there's nothing you can do with them, and they have nowhere else to go but up. But
right.
I would say the average right now, if you're only paying $10,000 in taxes, you're lucky, right?
Yeah.
And your insurance is – insurance bills are running at least $1,400, so let's just round it up to two. Say it's $1,000 a month. Well, that's a hard number. It doesn't. It's not going to get any better.
No,
it's not going to go down.
Well, I know Audrey's been, and you've been helping around at some of the open houses, and with Dash after this, and they're in. A lot of these are in whatever we want to call them, communities, either condominium communities or townhomes communities, and the assessments are to the roof. God help you if you've got like a guy working the gate 24/7 or something. I mean, what are those up, Nance?
That was another conversation I had with somebody on Friday. He was saying that, well, if something happens, him and his wife, his daughter can just go out and afford to buy a condo. And I said, and he said, you don't seem like you agree with that. And I said, it's not that I don't agree with it. It's just that when you think about it, if you could just take care of the things in your home, that like the outside maintenance, like maybe put up aluminum siding or that hardy board or whatever you want to call it, and get it ready, she would be better off living there. And he said, oh, she would never be able to afford it. And I said, really? I said, because a condominium was what, so much cheaper? I said, what do you think the minimum is going to be, just realistically, your own head, what do you think the minimum is on a condominium assessment fees every month? And he looked at me and he goes, my God, I never even thought about that. And he said, what, $300? I said, well, how do you think you spend $3,600 in services to give your snowplow or your grass cut? And he said, well, she could cut the grass. I said, this is what I'm saying. I are you really going to be any worse off?
Yeah, but you got to get one of those big stud riding mowers.
But you get what I'm trying to, I mean, it's just, yeah. It just gets to the point where, our thinking has to, really be opened up and expanded and realize, wow, we are so, condominiums, when they first started back in the 80s, they were $19,000. Well, yeah, of course it was a great idea. Now they're more expensive than the homes.
Well, John, what is last question? It's good stuff. What these areas in the city? I know Steph Koenig used to be on the show with us before she had a baby. Her little spot there in Lincoln Park, they have 24/7 security, like circling.
Right.
What is that costing, John?
Oh my God! And you know, for some of the bigger projects that were in neighborhoods that have maybe gentrified, but they're still not completely gentrified. And there's no place now, of course, that's immune from crime. But I can't imagine what you could spend, and what people feel you have to spend to feel safe, or you don't want to live there. But it's, you know, not just in surveillance cameras and somebody watching this stuff and somebody, you know, being available, you know, closer than the police if there's any kind of problem. I think it's got to be astronomically expensive.
Well, when I go pick Andrew up on Wednesday morning, Matt Byrne, you'll be interested in this. Right where Alumni Hall used to be, where the Student Union is there, is that whatever street that is? It's one block south of Fulton.
Well, Belden.
Belden. There's got to be six. We're talking 5:30 in the morning. There's six security people standing there on that corner. I mean, four to six. I'm sure there must be other people on campus. I don't know. I suspect they're not armed. What if there's 25 people standing there? Jan, what is the cost of that? And I mean, what do you suppose? I mean, our buddy Greg, have you guys had any, I guess where I'm getting to this, stumbling away at it, have you been in any presentations like your block or your couple block area from a securities firm saying for this we'll have a guy here all the time?
Well, I know people who have had those conversations. And even my little community college in Chicago Heights, Tom, I mean, it had two, you know, security forces. One was armed, one was not armed. And the numbers of people that were required to keep order and safety exploded. You
know. Well, Nancy, you got your two fierce dogs, so you're okay.
Oh, yeah, right. They would just come in and lick them to death.
Oh, I know. You guys don't look like a couple of dobes, but they're actually very fierce, I hear.
Yeah, right.
Nance, thank you. Maybe I can see you one of these days. Maybe. Do you think there's a chance before winter you can actually see John? Either one of you.
John, we just got to get that Ford Pinto.
Yeah.
And
pile in.
Get over there and throw him in the hatch, and then we'll have him.
I guarantee if we threw him in the hatch, he wouldn't be able to get out until we dragged him out.
Well, hey, then we could even have him longer.
Once you put a nostalgia tint to it, I'm in on it, so I could do the Pinto.
Well, yeah, I mean, could you imagine how many people are going to listen to this and say, what the hell is a Ford Pinto?
Oh, God.
Then I told somebody yesterday they wanted an idea for Halloween, and I said, you guys would really do good as the Flintstones. The little girl could put her hair up and be Pebbles, and the little girl said, what are the Flintstones? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm really getting old. Just forget it.
Remember the Pacers, how ugly those things were, the AMCs?
Oh yeah. My God, the things were so wide.
Oh, yeah. This is not politically correct, but I'll tell it anyway. Audrey drags me out. We were in the shopping center like on Torrance. I don't know how we were doing there, or some store was going out of business. Anyway, Audrey always drags me for, you know, sales or something. So she's in the store, and I'm waiting for her. And there's this Pacer out there. And let's say four, what's the term, Nance? Spatially challenged ladies come out together. And they open the doors. They couldn't have done this. God, I wish I had a camera. They couldn't have done this if they tried to. All four behinds hit the seat at the exact same time. The car just went schmoosh.
You mean you didn't hear the load levers go off?
Oh, that was long before they had any of that stuff. I'm sitting there going, if I could have put that on camera, long before you had a phone and a camera, it would have gone viral before there was a viral. I'm sitting there. That probably can't happen. It could never happen again, even if they tried. It'd be the same thing if John and I sat in the thing. No, what the hell? Anyway, thank you, guys. SP Futures down 350. NASDAQ Futures, calf, or not calf. Nance, half or a quarter tomorrow on Wednesday?
Half.
You're thinking a half? John?
Half,
yeah.
The market's starting looking at a half. All right, we'll see. We'll grade you guys next week. Be right back tomorrow morning, Stocks and Jocks.
What was that?
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
That's all, folks.